Thank you so much, Katie and Rosie, for that very clear rendition of Galatians 5. Morning all again to you. I wonder if you're glad to have our normal English summer weather back, or are you already pining for the Mediterranean weather of a few weeks ago? I would love to tell you all about our game of cricket yesterday, but I know that if I was to tell you that Steve Smallwood took 2 wickets with his bowling and both Scott Early and James Giddings took blinding catches, you wouldn't believe me. Well, they did. A special hello this morning to anyone joining us who is fresh to church or new to the faith and for whom singing songs, saying prayers, listening to people talk about the Bible is all new and perhaps a little strange. Big welcome to you. We Christians put a lot of store in this book, the Bible. The last book in the book was written nearly 2,000 years ago, so you'd be forgiven for asking, why do Christians do that? Why do they put so much store in this ancient book? What has the Bible got to say to us as humanity today? Well, the answer is twofold. Firstly, though the world we live in today in the 21st century is radically different in many ways to that of the first century, the heart, the mind, the behavior of humankind is no different. And if you dispute that, stick around for a few more minutes as we go through Galatians 5 together this morning. Secondly, God is unchanging. Mankind is pretty much the same, but God is exactly the same. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And so God's wisdom and God's guidance for humankind doesn't go out of date or out of relevance, and it isn't confined to one part of the planet. God's wisdom is eternal and universal. So this book can speak into our hearts and our minds and our lives just as effectively today as it always has, ever since it was penned. As a church, a community of believers this summer, we have been looking at the book of Galatians, or to give it its full title, the Epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians. I'm going to stick to Galatians. The term apostle has a number of attributes, but the most relevant for us here today is that of qualified teacher. So Paul, a qualified teacher in the early church, is writing to Christians living in Galatia, a province of the Roman Empire, which is located in modern-day Turkey. One of the wonderful features of the Bible is that it is comprised of many different genres, different styles of writing. So you have poetry and history and prophecy and law, as well as the Gospels, which were eyewitness accounts of Jesus' ministry, and the Epistles, which were letters written by early church leaders to the early churches. So when we read Scripture, we're supposed to take into account the particular genre that we are reading at the time, so as to figure out how literally we should be taking what is written. And there are times when we read the words in this book, the Bible, and it is like we're holding up a mirror to ourselves, or that the words we are reading are exposing the very workings of our souls. We shouldn't be surprised by this, because this is one of the main reasons we have the Bible. The author of Hebrews tells us in chapter 4 of that book, in verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirits, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So the Bible exposes our hearts, or to go back to the mirror analogy, enables us to take a good look at ourselves. And that's one of the reasons you should be reading it. A good friend recently told me that she hates looking at herself in the mirror. She recognized that this is because she has a low opinion of herself. Whereas I, courageously, frequently, endure the scrutiny of the glass. I think this morning's reading by Katie and Rosie from Galatians 5 provides us with just such a time of scrutiny, just such a time to be able to look at ourselves. Paul's list of what is wrong, the acts of the sinful nature, and what is right, the life of the Spirit, is kind of like a checklist, an MOT for us. Or if you like, it's a holding up of the mirror and having a good look at ourselves. So let me go back over those verses in Galatians. Galatians 5:19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I wonder, what is your response to the glare of those verses today? Is it to run for cover? Is it to lift your chin and attempt to ignore it? Or is it to welcome the MOT, welcome that look in the mirror? There could hardly be two more different ways of living or being, could there? The difference is so stark, this way or that way. But our problem is that we have these two totally different natures ever present, ever vying for control within us. It's not simply a question of I'll choose this one and that's it, game over. They are both trying to win our attention all the time. My translation of the Bible calls it the sinful nature. Other translations call it the flesh or the earthly nature or the lower side of human nature. Whatever it's called, we all have it. And it is challenged at every turn in our spirit by the Spirit. In his commentary on Galatians, Barclay quotes a poem by Stuart Kennedy, where the author writes, "I'm a man and a man's mixture, right down from his very birth. For part of him comes from heaven and part of him comes from earth." Isn't that what it feels like in your head, in your heart, in your spirit, this wrestle between these two sides of our nature? Paul says in verse 17, "For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature." And in the book of Romans, Paul describes this struggle in even more detail. Romans chapter 7, verse 21 says this, "So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work within me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death?" That is Paul describing his battle, the great apostle Paul. So how is the battle going for you? Is there a battle going on? Christians have all sorts of reputations. I hope that one of the things that we will always have a reputation for is to be people who are ready to take a look at ourselves, who are willing to be examined, who are prepared to put themselves through an MOT, because that means that our faith is real. It's genuine. It's not a mask or a pretense. It's real. James challenges us in verse 22 of chapter 1 of his book, or of his letter. "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." So, for this week's challenge, and I pray that we might always be people again that are willing to be challenged by Scripture, to look for the challenge, I want to invite you to be brave and find some time in the next few days to go through these lists here in Galatians 5 and examine yourself. take a look at yourself. How are you doing in these areas? Where is your sinful nature getting up, getting on top? How are you doing at exhibiting these wonderful fruits of the spirits? Will you do that, people? The most courageous of you can ask someone who knows you really well, your spouse, perhaps, or your best friend, to look at the lists and pick one of them for you from that sinful nature that you're weak in, kind of hoping that it won't be witchcraft or orgies. Hopefully you've moved on from those already. When you have picked one, or they have picked one for you to commit to trying to change that. Are you up for doing that? If you are, there are two ways that you can go about that. Plan A is to put the emphasis on you. You could fight it and try and grind it out and grind out a win against it in your own strength. After all, Paul did urge us in verse 24 to crucify the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And he also tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I beat my body and make it my slave. So we do have a part to play in becoming disciplined, in disciplining ourselves. But then the second way that you could try and take this on is to put the focus, the emphasis on the spirit. Because the truth is, we are weak, are we not, in our humanity. When Paul was describing his losing battle with a sinful nature in those verses we looked at in Romans, he said, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? He's losing the fight. He's failing the test. The almighty apostle Paul is floundering. Where does that leave little old you and I? But then he answers his own question. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We can ask Jesus for help. We can ask Jesus to come in and do the cleaning. That's one of the reasons he has left us with the Spirit. The Spirit is there to intercede for us, but we're supposed to ask. Let me encourage you by reminding you of this. Because of the cross, because of that amazing sacrifice of God in Jesus, in the spiritual realm, when we make a mess in some way, by the time you've acknowledged it and gone in your own heart to clean it up, hope no one else has noticed it, it's already gone. It's already gone. Jesus has already been there with his invisible J cloth called the grace of God and has got rid of it. There is another point in considering which approach you're going to take when you pick up this challenge. When we overcome something in our own strength, in our own discipline, who gets the glory? We do. When we overcome through the power of the Spirit, through our Lord Jesus, who gets the glory then? Paul told us in verse 16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So it would be much better to pray about it, to hand it over, to invite the power of the Spirit in to aid you. The second part of the self-examination that I hope you will engage in this week is to look at these fruits of the Spirit. It's good and right that we try and prune the sinful nature. But if you spend all of your time cutting, after a while, there won't be anything left. It's been a little bit like that in our garden this week with my wife, who's got the shears out. So how are you doing in exhibiting these fruits? What do you excel in? How has God gifted you? I'm reminded that when I was taken on as a trainee minister, the senior minister at that time, Joth spoke to me about my strengths and weaknesses. And I was fully expecting a grueling time of having to focus on my weaknesses, of having to turn those into strengths somehow. To my absolute delight, he told me to focus on my God-given gifts. That was so liberating for me, so empowering, so positive. So I hope and pray as you look at yourself and your sinful nature and see what it is that you've got to try and tackle and try and prune, that you will also have a good, honest, positive acknowledgement of those gifts, those fruits that you've got, and enjoy the liberation of that and of doing even more in the way that God has gifted you. Do you think we can undertake a bit of self-examination this week, a bit of mirror work? It would be great, wouldn't it, to be able to look back in a week's time together to see how God has strengthened us in some area where we've been able to overcome our sinful nature in some way through the Spirit, and to share that with each other, or to be able to share some way in which God has used those fruits that we already have to build up the kingdom and to encourage others. However, if you're already saying to yourself, no thanks, Toby, this scrutiny stuff sounds a little bit too uncomfortable, really, then let me remind you of the warning that Paul gives to his readers in verse 21. He says, I warn you, as I did before, that those that live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Sin is serious. It always has consequences. So please don't be complacent. Think of this as an optional thing, but open yourself up to examination and remind yourself of your gifts. I began this morning by addressing you folks that are not yet familiar with the faith. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. We've looked through these verses at two utterly different ways of living, utterly different ways of being. Wouldn't the ways of the Spirit be such a better way to live? Imagine what the world would look like if we were all living out the fruits of the Spirit on a regular basis. But you know, there is no point expecting the world to change. It's simply not going to. Change has to start with you and I, has to start with the man in the mirror. Starts by you meeting Jesus, getting to know him, and by walking in his Spirit. And I pray that will be your future with us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for its counsel, for its guidance, for its rebuke, for its warnings. Lord, we pray that as we read it, we can be wowed. We can gain learning, we can gain understanding. And we also thank you, Lord, in certain times when we hold it up, it's like a mirror to us, and that we can look at ourselves. And I pray, Lord Jesus, as we are in that place in Galatians 5, looking at those aspects of our sinful nature and those wonderful aspects of the fruits of the Spirit, Lord Jesus, that we would be prepared to look at ourselves and undertake that exercise this week. Not, Lord, because we need to prove ourselves or we need to somehow earn our salvation, but simply, Lord, because we want to be the best for you. We want to walk by your Spirit, and we want to be the best for you so that we can best be you to our friends, those around us, to our community, to our world, for your glory. Lord, thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Back over to you, Anita.